All right. Mitch Lutsky joins us, and the book is called The Page Fence Giants. And when I saw the title of the book, I thought, what does page fence mean and giants? But this is from a period of history that you will find fascinating, and Mitch has researched it and come up with really another winner from McFarland Publishing. He's a high school history teacher. He's a coach in Michigan. He's had history-themed articles published in newspapers, magazines, webs, and with Sabre. He lives in Michigan. Mitch, it's great to have you with us. How are you?
Great to be with you, Marty. Pretty good. We were supposed to get 2 to 4 inches of snow last night, but we just got rain. So it's a little brisk here, but there's no snow. So
really?
I'm pretty happy back here in Michigan. Yes, yes.
My goodness. Come on. Isn't it April? What is this, April 28th?
Yeah, well, it's Michigan weather. Wait 30 minutes and it changes.
All right. Very good. Well, the book is special, and I want to let you tell me about it and tell the audience about it, because it's a period of American history depicting an amazing baseball team. But the name of the book, and I tell you, when I looked, I said, Page Fence, what can that possibly be? And you've come up with a great title, but a great story. So tell us how you got into it and a little bit about the book.
Well, I had written two self-published books before, and I was working on the second book about the history of Williamston, Michigan, where I live now and teach high school history. And in 1895, there was a minor league circuit set up for 1 year in Michigan with some Lower Peninsula teams. And in Williamston, the local baseball boosters put up some kind of ramshackle stadium. We're not really sure where it was, just kind of a back grandstands and things. And they wanted to lure some of the minor league teams here on their off days to play local groups. And they had put in the newspaper, as I was researching an article about baseball in 1895, that they wanted the Page Fence Giants to come to town. And I had never heard of them. I just kind of wrote the name on a sticky note and threw it in the file. And then I researched it a little bit and found out they were an all-star barnstorming black baseball team based in Adrian, Michigan. So I wrote my chapter. The Page Fence Giants came here the next year, so didn't really have any place in my 1895 chapter. But then as I started to get curious about a third book, I Googled it, and there was very little about this team. And they had won the World Black Baseball Championship in 1896 by defeating a team out east, the Cuban ex-Giants, who were not Cuban. They were African-Americans. And I contacted people in Sabre around the country who are experts in black baseball and said, I'm kind of looking at a book idea. Does this book need to be done? And they're like, yes, there's been no book on these gentlemen. It's a gap from 1895 to 1898 is when they played. There's a gap in some scholarship of that baseball time. And go ahead and do it, you know. And so that's kind of what I did. And I started reading the sporting news and sporting life and newspapers for hundreds of hours to piece together the story of this championship team.
Now, Mitch, this is about, I mean, we're talking 50-plus years before Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. Are there players here that would have been big leaguers or that we should know about that were Hall of Fame-type players?
People ask me that all the time, and the Hall of Fame is like a whole different stratosphere.
Right.
But that there are definitely ball players that would have made the major leagues. Probably half of the Page Fence Giants, I would say, would make it. And the reason I say this is Bud Fowler, who was the first black professional baseball player in the country in the 1870s, and he was from Cooperstown, New York. He helped found this team in Adrian in 1895 with Grant Home Run Johnson, who were two African-American gentlemen and players. And then there were three white businessmen, the Taylor brothers and Len Hawk, the ex-mayor of Adrian, came together as the ownership group. Well, in about 1889, earlier, Bud Fowler had played in an earlier Michigan State League and had batted around 300 or so. Well, 31 players from that league, who were all white, went to the majors, and he didn't, along with two other African-American players. So just the fact that you bat 300 in the league and they take in a 16 league, 31 guys eventually make the majors, it's pretty safe to say that 6 years later, when Bud Fowler was still a very good player, but he wasn't the best one in the Page Fence Giants, that those players would have been in the majors some way down the road. George Wilson was a left-handed pitcher that went 29-4 in the Michigan State League, and his teammate for a few weeks was Hannes Wagner. So there were legitimate guys in this league that matriculated to the majors. So I would say a chunk of the Giants would have made the majors at some type of level of play, either substitute bench guys mainstay guys or certainly superstars. I think a couple of those players would have been at that level.
Mitch Lutsky, who we're talking to on the phone here, the book is The Page Fence Giants, and we're talking about this classic baseball team from the late 1800s. How is a team like this financed? How do they travel around? Like, what I always wonder that about the Negro Leagues. It had such great players and it had such great iconic athletes back in the late 1800s, but then you wonder how was it that they were not financed, or how was it that they traveled around and had these uniforms? Where did this funding come from for a championship team like this?
Well, that was one of the keys to the success of the team that ran for 4 years and made money. The Page Fence Company was named after J. Wallace Page, who was an ex-Civil War soldier for the North, and he had been on Sherman's march to the sea, and he had seen what happens to a wooden fence post when the soldiers come through. So when he went back to Adrian, Michigan, he started to tinker around in a kind of an extra barn on his property with a younger cousin, and they wanted to weave steel fencing, but not sharp fencing like Joseph Glidden's barbed wire. And it took him a few years to do this, and he made this kind of waffle-shaped, very sturdy fencing, and he moved the factory into Adrian. Well, they were known for unique marketing tools like making a fence kind of like a bridge, and like 100 people would stand on it. They made a makeshift cage of wild animals and said, you know, we can protect wild animals. We certainly can protect your goats and things like that. But Adrian was a pretty progressive town. It had been a stop on the Underground Railroad. It was integrated. There was a significant African-American middle-class community there. And so what happened was, for whatever reason, and all my research, I couldn't come up with anything, but the Page Fence Company wanted to use this traveling team to market their product. So they had 6,000 fence agents in the Midwest. And these guys played in Ontario, Canada, and all through the Midwest, Iowa, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio. And so you'd go into town, and the local fence agent would have a display of their fencing at the ballpark. And then the Page Fence Giants would come in and destroy your local guys, and they'd say, hey, you think the ball players are good? What do you think the quality of the fence is? Sign up here.
I love it.
That's great stuff.
Yeah. Great, yeah. Mitch, it's a great. You tell a great story, and the book is a winner. I want to tell you, it's just a period of American history and in Michigan, and just to hear the quality of these players and then the marketing aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's sort of a gap. We think about Moses Fleetwood Walker and, you know, the integration of the American Association in the mid-1880s. But you have this that sort of got overlooked, and I think you came up with a really good story, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And the Giants ended up buying a train car, and they outfitted it with a professional barber and porter to tend to the needs of the ball players. Because even though we were in the North, there were still the Jim Crow laws. And I go into that in my book. I teach high school sociology, so I kind of talk about where the ball team is in American history. I talk about Plessy versus Ferguson, legalization of the races, you know, and public accommodations. And so they'd be in this elaborate train car, and if they were in a town that did not serve black ball players, they had a chef with silver and china on the train, and then they could also sleep there if the town would not accommodate them. If a town would accommodate them, well, then the train was just hooked back to the end of the train car and sent off to the side, and they'd go into town and play ball and eat dinner and stay overnight. So the train car, which had the big advertisement for the fence company as well on the side, was something they needed as they kind of went through the Midwest on communities that were either accepting or unaccepting of ball players mingling outside of the Diamond area. So I also talk about that as America seems like, just the South had problems with, you know, the racial divide. It was in pockets all over the country, unfortunately, in the 1890s.
Well, as I say, it was a forgotten period for everyone, and looking at baseball, Negro League baseball, and just baseball in general, and the country. So I think the book's terrific. I really do. The Page Fence Giants, McFarland Publishing. Can you get it on Amazon and other places like that?
Absolutely. You can get it, and I have an author webpage, www.mitchlutsky.com. They can get a hold of me there. McFarland directly, obviously. It's the Page Fence Giants, a history of black baseball's pioneering champions, and it's just been it was a fun research for a couple of years, and year to write it, and I'm just really excited that people are learning about a great ball team at a time in our country where, you know, people were working together. You know, interracial management group at that time was unheard of, and the ball players were part owners of the team for a couple of months, and there was a change. But I just thought FSL was very interesting, and the Page Fence Company ends up being the largest employer in Adrian. Hundreds and hundreds of people worked at this factory, including some of the ball players in the off season. So this is just, I cover all this in my book. So it's just not for baseball fans. It's a story of America told through baseball, and a lot of cool stories about guys that we should know about if we're sports fans or fans of American history. And I'm hoping this will crack the door a little bit to this time frame of baseball in our country.
Well, you have, and we could take a lot of lessons from it even today. Mitch Lutzke, Lutzke, and as Mitch says, just check out Amazon, or we have our local bookstore here. We have the Book Tree up in Montclair, in the Oakland section of Montclair, the Oakland section. So you can check it out up there as well. Mitch, it's a pleasure to have you on. And as you say, you've cracked the door open to a very important part of U.S. history. And as I say, it could teach us lessons even today for what's going on in the country and the world. So I appreciate you being on.
Thank you very much for having me, and go Giants, both the San Francisco Giants and the Page Fence Giants.
All right. I like it. Come on. Now I understand what the Page Fence Company is. Yeah. I had no idea. Great. Mitch, thanks so much.
Thank you, Marty.
All right. Very good. What do you think of that?
I think we're in the wrong business. We need to get into fencing is what we need to do.
But what marketing?
How about that?
Come on. And they had their own car on the train.
I love that. The team was so good, they'd come in, they'd beat your club, and they'd say, you think that's a beating? Wait till you see these fences we put in.
Right. We'll keep your goats in there.
Yeah, that's a good deal, man.
I love it. Very good. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. All right.